Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you all for tuning in to the Angels of Melody International Outreach Ministries, where Jesus Christ is the author of this ministry. I am Evangelist Tanya Johnson, and I do greet you all today with peace and with love. And we here broadcasting live from Christ Successful Life Ministries on this morning, where the pastor is Billy Eugene Tammet. And we just thank God for our church family and for his lovely wife and children and everybody that makes up the ministry. We just thank God on today. We thank God for all of you that are listening in all of Africa from A to Z in the United States of America, those that's in Russia and in Pakistan and Hong Kong. We just want to say God bless to you on today. Those that's in the UK, those that's in Italy, we just want to say God bless you. And on this morning, you're going to hear a great service. So we ask that whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're going through, we just ask that you will give it all to Jesus and let him work it out, because you know that he is a problem solver, he is a healer, and he is a restorer, and he is a God of peace and a God of love and a God of soundness and a wholeness. And so we just pray that this broadcast, that this service on today will bless you. And also remember that tomorrow we will be back on live with great music and more tomorrow on the Angels of Melody with your host, Angel on Deck. So right now I'm going to take you into the sanctuary, and we just pray that this will be a blessed day for you all. And by the way, happy Sunday. All right.
Hallelujah. Just begin to pray right now. Just begin to pray right now. Just begin to thank him for all that he has done. You are not homeless. You are not homeless yet. You are not homeless, and you will never be homeless. Just begin to thank God for his protection over you, for a shelter, for a car, for everything he has given us, for our families. Just begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. Lift up your voices, because if God were to give us, if God were to give us a bill for all the air we have been breathing from the first day we were born until this day, we cannot afford it. So the best we can do is just go to God and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you are faithful. Thank you. And that's only one thing. That's only one thing we cannot even afford. So what about all the other things, everything we have gone through? The person is fighting on our behalf. There are two battles. There are two wars going on right now. The one in Afghanistan and the one in Iraq have cost America trillions. And it might be just so many years that God is fighting for us. We cannot pay. So the best you can do right now is say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for bringing me this far. Thank you for sustaining me in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'd like us to just lift up our praise and worship team right now before the throne of grace. And I will begin to pray for the praise and worship team. If you remember, just make your way to the front. Hallelujah. Let us just pray for the praise and worship team. We pray right now the word of God says he inhabits our praises. We know that he will inhabit our praises. He will inhabit our praises. And the Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy.
Oh, yeah.
There is fullness of joy. There is fullness of joy. Let us pray that during this praise and worship today, as our praises go up, his glory will come down. His presence will come down.
Yeah.
And will saturate his sanctuary in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let's begin to pray right now. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, who fell God. Oh, Lord, come and lift up all praise and worship. You are because you are present. You are present, oh God. You are present, Almighty God. We give you praise, we give you glory. But now, God, every instrument will sound right. Every speaker will sound right. Every microphone will act right in the name of Jesus. We call this blood upon every instrument with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for us to be to bless your name, that walls will come down. Walls of destruction will come down. Walls of oppression will come down. Walls of depression will come down. That is why we declare and seek this holy ground. And Lord, in having our presence, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us just stretch forward our hands towards the pastor right now. And just begin to pray for our fresh anointing. Pray for our fresh anointing upon him. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing to lead his people. A fresh anointing to speak the word. A fresh anointing for God today. A fresh anointing to elevate the name of the Lord today. A fresh anointing to magnify the name of the Lord today. A fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. That his tongue is like that of a reading writer.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to
I'm Anointing that breaks the They're going to throw a memory on anything we do here today. Father, they're going to throw into all that area and any strength. Lord, we say, have a mention of your name every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that you are Lord, for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. High five your level. You're looking good this morning. I love you with all my heart. I'm glad you show up today. Because God is going to show up. Amen. Glory. Praise the Lord. We thank God for everybody that is here today. And I believe that the Lord is good, and that's why you're here. Amen. Many people started this week with us. I don't have to remind you all that, but I know there's somebody that died this week. That's for sure. Somebody died this week. But I'm glad you are not the one. Look at your numbers. I'm glad you are not the one. My Lord, praise God for that person. Say, praise God for you. Ooh, you are a miracle. I thank God because you didn't die this week. My Lord, you are a miracle. So look at your numbers and relax. Good to be open, take a deep breath, relax, relax, relax. Sometimes we get too tense. We spend more energy. Don't think too serious. Let your devil relax. Amen. Before I pray, I'm going to call a woman of God and come and sing. Worship one song before we get into the word. Evangelist Tanya, can you come forward? Praise the Lord. She's tired of that. She wants to fly or something. Come forward. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. She was in a serious pain when I talked to her yesterday. But thank God, she said, I will make it into the presence of God. And I pray that as she begins to sing, just worship. You might not know the song, but just join her to worship. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As he was calling me to sing, I'm like, oh, wow, what am I going to sing right now? I still led the thing, reach up for your miracle, because God is still yet doing miracles.
Amen.
And we know that's something that's going to keep going on to the day he calls us. There's always going to be miracles on our way. Reach up for your miracle. Reach up for your miracle is yours today. Let the Lord help his way. Reach up for your miracle. Praise God for your miracle. If you just believe, then you will receive. Reach up for your miracle. Praise God for your miracle. It is yours today. Let the Lord help his way. Reach up for your miracle. Praise God for your miracle. If you just believe, then you will receive your miracle. Is now your miracle is now. Just reach up and grab it, because your miracle is now. Well, if you believe it, then you will surely receive it. Just reach up and grab it, because your miracle is now. Oh, your overflow is now. overflow is come. Pray only if you believe it, then you will surely receive it. Just reach open well in here, cause your overflow is now. Well, your breaking forth is now. Your breaking forth is now. Just reach up and dwell in, because your breaking forth is now. Well, if you believe it, then you will surely receive it. Just reach up and grab it, yeah, because your breaking point is now. Oh, your healing is now. Your healing is now. Just reach up and dwell in it, because your healing is now. Well, if you believe it, then you will surely receive it. Just reach up and dwell in it, your healing is now. Oh, your joy and peace is now. Your joy and peace is now. Just reach up and grab it. Your joy and peace is now. Well, if you believe it, then you will surely receive it. Just reach up and grab it. Well, reach up and grab it. Just reach up and grab it. Your miracle is now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord as we give that seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do I still need to preach after this? We don't need any more preaching. She did all the preaching in the song. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at the devil saying, your miracle is here. You have to choose to receive it this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the evangelist. Amen. You can tell that she's loaded. Amen. And she wrote that song by herself. Yes. Wow. Man, the first day I heard that song on the radio, my God, I was like, you have to sing this in church. Amen. And I didn't tell her she was going to sing this morning. And yet she sang like that. If I had actually told her she was going to sing, praise the Lord. If I had actually told her she was supposed to minister this morning, what would have been it? But the Bible says we should be ready in and out of season. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for her. She has a ministry. She's been up, been heard all over the place. She's connected all the time. We thank God for the connections, amen. And I need you to pray for her, amen. Because the pain that she I talked about before, she does not have it anymore. But the pain that she carried before, you can't carry such pain and stick up the drug. Amen. As a matter of fact, many people believe that when they're in pain, that's the time they should run away from her. Don't get me started this morning now. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your anointing in this room, for your unction that makes a difference. Pray every you, restore every broken heart.
wipe the tears of every weeping child of yours in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask your spirit to take control of every and everything we do here today. I ask you to bless your daughter as she has worshiped, because it's all about worshiping you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for my dear brother. Yeah. If I say, my brother, you're a male in here, you must believe I'm talking about you, because they are all my brothers. Amen. Something I wrote about his brother is that he's always organized. Praise the Lord. But I want us to pray for him because he needs prayers. He needs our support. Amen. And there is no other place you can find support other than in church. Yes, they have crisis centers. They have all kinds of centers around America, but they give you stuff. And 90% of the time we have realized that the stuff don't take away the problem. Your peace of mind is not found in bread, in some clothes that they give you, but it's found in the Word. And I want us to pray that this place will be a fountain of joy, a fountain of peace. Actually, my prayer is that when you pull into this parking lot, you feel the wind of peace that comes around. You don't even need to preach it. But you feel that you are in a secure place. You're in the presence of God. Stretch for your hands. I'm not going into the details, but just the Lord help the brother. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit your son, made in your image, called by your name into your hands. Lord, we say this morning, oh God, you're blessing. You know what he's going through better than he can explain, better than I can explain, or better than anybody else can explain. Lord, you know you're a father to the fatherless. Oh God, I pray for your help, your mercy, and your wisdom upon my son. But I pray that he will get out of the way so you can do what you want to do in this life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that he will receive you as his Lord and Savior. So that in the midnight hour, when there is nobody, when everyone will say to him, you will be there for me. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because when he walks through the valley of the shadow, you are with him, God. In Jesus' name. Lord, I cover him, his family, his generation with the blood of Jesus. I said, the years have come, I want the power of my future, Lord, let it be restored. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wrap your hands around the name of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands, show love to the brother. I think those who sit down, amen. God bless you. Amen. The next person I'm going to call in front is Brother Divine. Somebody say Brother Divine.
Anybody in any way, either it is through my actions faithful to what I have said. I just want to say that. And also begin on you. So I just want to beg on you to forgive me. And before coming here, I had been like, you know what? I need to get this out there and go where I belong. You guys may not believe it. Not being here for the amount of time that I've not been here has not been peaceful. You will not know what it means to be like getting up in the morning every Sunday to go to church, and then out of the service, you don't go and then you have to come back to church. What is going on while we're not going to church? It's been a long story. I just want to say, I'm God, but I say, please, I forgive anybody who would tell me one way or the other. They just put this thing behind us. You know, in life, someone must almost come in any community that you are in. But the truth is that the way you finally handle it is the end that will justify the name. Let us, like Christians, not allow some of these things to go about handling things like people who do not even speak the face of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad to be back and say, I don't know if you guys can accept me.
We don't accept him.
How many people accept him back?
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God also for the divine, amen. But the man left here, we didn't leave him, but he left. But he came back, amen. And that's what I said, that church people do things differently. Amen. When I talk to divine, we have to discuss some things, and obviously, there is some misunderstanding. And obviously, I believe that there were people here that probably are buying us the things that were not justified. And at the same time, as we accept his forgiveness, we also ask him to forgive us.
Amen.
Amen? Because it's a two-way street. I've said here many times that no one person can gossip alone. You must have a year. There must be somebody feeding on the information you're giving them. So we thank God because why? Our own brother is back. In fact, he said something very significant. You see here. At the tension of this, back he said something in my office that kicked off the whole process of reconciliation. Back he said something. He said, divine is still our brother.
Amen.
In the height of it, I'm like, wow, this is significant coming from a young man like him, whom I've chastised him more than anybody else. But he said, divine. He was very pleased with what happened. He said, divine is still our brother. I said, okay, that's good. Amen. Let's just hold our hands as we pray for this brother and his family. He has so much in front of him, and I believe that this will just kick off things. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and adoration for your son, oh God, who has come back where he belongs, as he said. I pray for the grace, for healing, for restoration. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord, what we have learned during this process will not repeat itself. History will be our guide. And Lord, above it all, you will be our guide. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because the enemy has just been defeated. The spirit of division has just been kicked out. And Lord, we are strong again. And we thank you, Father, because our bond now is stronger than it has ever been before. In the name of Jesus. We pray for the many that are still out there. We pray that, Lord, as you give the courage to the prodigal son to come back, you give them that courage to come back. And Lord, we welcome them. Because this is your house. It's not our house. In the name of Jesus. We worship you. We give you praise, glory, and adoration. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together as a brother goes and sit down. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so, you know, Divine is the person that has been playing the keyboard. As a matter of fact, Divine is the first child of this ministry. Number one that walked into my basement from day one. Amen. And while we were going through what we were going through, I said to my wife, there is nobody that can come between me and divine. Amen? Talk-wise, we can talk. If it's fighting, I can fight divine. We look almost the same. So I don't need anybody, you know, in the midst of us. And thank God we had to do this. But divine was playing the keyboard. And if you've noticed, almost for 2 months now, we've been blind. I haven't. Amen? Because the kingdom of God has to do what? And divine is coming back. We're going to go through a process of restoration. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll be restored, and he will go through what he's supposed to go through, like everybody else. And eventually, by the grace of God, he'll get back to doing what he was doing. But it takes time. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us understands that our action has consequences. And I'm so glad that he came back. And I'm sending this information to everybody else who has left the church for one reason or the other. All I ask people is, give me an audience. Let's talk. Let's talk. And I'll be quick to tell you, hey, man, I'm not the most perfect person on planet Earth. I'm done. Amen? So let us love the brother and welcome him back. We cannot heal the wound by scrubbing it. So don't begin to ask me, what happened? No, we don't need that. We're moving forward. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, we are moving forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Word of God. I know this week we have a couple of things that we will be announcing at the end of this service, but let's get to the Word so we can move on, and then we'll come back to announcement. This week is jam-packed. So after this service, our message will be very brief. Hebrews chapter 12. If you have a little cell phone and it has a recording on, you want to record this message. Your own personal consumption. Hebrews chapter 12. We have been talking about trials and tribulations, difficulties in our lives. And today, I want to zero in. I want to complete it. Unfortunately, there are some people that are not in church today who are supposed to hear this message. But I want you to record it and text them. Just listen to this. This is so relevant. When we started this message, we started in James chapter 1, and this was James writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, and he said, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations, when things are not going right in your life, when the enemy is attacking you from every direction. He said, count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faith, what is patience. So when you are going through trials, your attitude should be an attitude of joy, an attitude of praise. That was James speaking to the people that were going through. We live in a society where everyday people are going through. I said last week, if the enemy does not get you at home, he will get you at work. If he does not get you at work, he will get you on the freeway. If he does not get you on the freeway, he will get you through your children. The enemy is constantly looking for an opening to attack you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
He's looking for ways, for means. Oh, you just have a new job. You know, many people say, but I have a new job. My life will be better. My life will be different things to be okay, but lo and behold, once you have that new job, something else pops up. Can somebody relate to what I'm saying this morning? You have a new job, immediately you finish celebrating the job, something comes up. You say, oh God, if I can only have a house like this pastor, my feet will be made whole. And then you have the house and something pops up. You say, if only, my God, so people say, if only I can marry God. If I can just find a brother. Oh, God, send me out. I'll just be okay. That's all I need. I can't take care of myself. I just need somebody else to take care of. If I can just tell that person, if I can just walk down the aisle. Wow. And then you walk down, as a matter of fact, the person shows up, you are not even coming to the day, you guys already, you are already ready to quit before you even tie the knot.
So where is solution found? Where? In a job? Wait, answer me. Wait, in the car? If I can just turn in Methodist 600, God, my peace will be restored. Oh, God, please, keep living. If I can just go to America, God, if I can just make it to that thing, amen. You sit on track with that eagle on and say, God, if I can just make it to this country, all my trials. So, people, if I can just become an RN, if I can just get that RN, when you see the RN, it's like, it's dollar sign that has been changed and cut. Right? It looks like RN. If I can jump, you sweat, you forgot everything. And then after you graduate, then what? So if I can just become a medical doctor with a three-arm dot before my name. If I can just be a doctor, that would be it. And you see people cry. People are stressed out. And then they become a doctor. Then what? They still complain like everybody else. So trials, Jesus was saying here that regardless of what happens, trials will do what? Come. You're in Cameroon, you're in America, you're in Uganda, you're in Spain, you're wherever, trials will do what? But look at Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. If it's your Bible, you'll remember the word endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Did he what?
Endure the cross.
For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down the right hand, the throne of God. How did he get to the throne? He despised the shame. For the joy of it, he despised the shame. Please, on the line, despise the shame. He made the shame of no effect. He made the shame of no value. And Lord of us, we put value on everything. You know why you're stressed? Relax. Do you know why you're stressed? 90% of the stress that you have in your life now, by the reason I say report this message, 90% of the stress you have in your life, you're blaming on you.
Gotta fight it now.
You throw it on you. 90% of the stress. How many people were hearing you come to church this morning? You rush. Let me just give you a brief example. You rush to come to church. You were stressed out because you wanted to get on time. If you know you walked last night, don't you? So if you know you slept at home and you rushed this morning to get here, let me see. Let's be honest now, we're in the presence of God. You slept at home and you were hurrying. My wife, you didn't love this one, put it in there. But you know, I want to see who brought that stress on you. No, listen, you did. You did it. Seriously, these are practical stuff that can change your life. These are practical stuff that can change your life. You get up this morning, you know that services are 10 o'clock, your top five for those who have clocked that ring, they clock rings, now what do?
You jump and you stop it, as I see people at home sometimes.
You stop it. You sleep till about 8 o'clock. And then you look at the time. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Who brought this strength? The devil is not here. You brought it upon yourself. Most of the time when you see people on the freeway, oh no, changing lane and all this. They start running at home. mind of it. And they're voting. More people that's living in houses that brought back to themselves that will carry a big mortgage and you have one house. Who brought that stress on you? Are you dividing? I'm buying your table. There's no table. You brought it to yourself. I didn't expect anybody. I still record this. You probably talk about it when you're home, not here. We bring chips. We bring stuff upon ourselves. We say stop. That little cash I call credit card. Who brings the stress of credit card into your life? No, not you, the devil. So it was the devil that was trapping the car. And when you stop the car, they ask you, do you want credit or debit? No, credit. And then at the end of the month, you are working 3 jobs because you want to pay for it. Your priorities are not set straight. Many people don't follow the things of God. What is Jesus? The Bible says, he despised the shield. He despised the shield. He despised the shame. Many of us are going through what we're going through because we don't despise the shame. Can I talk to somebody this morning?
Yeah.
Because you have a shame, you have a crowd. Nothing is wrong with it. It's not perfectly. But because of the shame, come on and see. And I really like you. Why would you not drive a Mercedes? Why would the people around say about you? Come on! Then you play into the pressure. You go down the dealership. I met a lady at the parking lot. Man, this man was driving one of the latest Range Rovers, the one I like. Ooh! Range Rover, when he passed his face, raining, gladly. And I saw this, I admired it. I was trying to compliment this lady. I said, man, what a good car. He said, I hope you help me pay for it. But did I tell you, she was kind of upset. I'm not kidding. She was really upset. I was just complimenting. But that tells me what she was, the pressure she was under to sit in that thing. And then everybody else, including me, said, wow. She brings the pressure on her. Many people are doing 2, 3 jobs, 4 jobs, but they're not supposed to. Because they were taking their names and open where they are caught. They said in back home that you saw your son according to what? But we bring all this stress on us. And that's why we see people that cannot come to the house of God. There are people here on Sunday morning, if you give them an altar to sign for the devil to come to church, they will never pick church. Never. The Bible says, what Jesus despised the sheep. He despised the sheep. A man only starts living when he or she has despised the shame of others. There are many people that God, you know, they're going through all kinds of stuff, why? Because God is secondary. God is not valuable. They have no value for the things of God. God is that thing that we don't have anywhere else to go. If it's a family that don't have trouble, then they show up in church. If it's a family that don't have, maybe they don't have an exam or something, then they go to church. God is treated like a piece of rock. When they need it, then they go pick him. So when they are busy with everything else, there are people that will not come to church for prayer night. But there was a party that they had. They treat God like what? God is like a marabukaku. You have a need, you come to him, so he throws things down. If you want to need. Man, when the Lord revealed this to me, there are some things I don't place any value on. Because my God, he's the only one that can set me free. He's the only one that I can hold on to. The Bible, Jesus, when they interviewed Jesus, if you want to call it interview, in our modern language, it's Jesus. Which is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Honor the Lord with what? Honor your heart, and all your might without your money, without your finances, without your time.
But you shall honor him with everything else. Is that what the Bible says?
No. He said, Jesus put first. He said, make God your priority. In the book of Romans chapter, I'll preach about that here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. He said, though they knew him, they did not glorify him. Though they knew him, so what if we just change our focus a little bit to God? You'll be delivered from poverty. You'll be delivered from stress. You'll be delivered from a lot of things that we run after.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus despised for the joy that was set before him. Many people, when they don't even come to church, sometimes they call me pastor. You understand? Yes, I do. I do understand. I understand. But who understands more? God. This is the love of God. This brother, there was a brother that came here and sang very well. I don't know if you guys remember him, Brother Marcus. How many of you remember that American brother? This brother visited this church. I'm just using him as an example to show you how people set their priority. This brother visited the church one time, invited by another minister, invited here. And as this brother came to the church, he loved the church. And we sat in my office and we talked about this, if I was there. He loved this place. And they were sending him to go work in Tennessee. This brother traveled to Tennessee. Actually, he told me, I was not here this pastor. He had not made this church his church. He traveled to Tennessee, and then he called me from there. I said, Pastor, I need your address. I said, oh, wow, you know, I just want. What do you think he wanted to send me? It's tight. I said, brother, what world are you living in? You travel and go work there, same time? No, the people are here. They didn't all come to church. That's an excuse for them to get their time. Sometimes they won't come to church. They were tight. Then you travel, and what did he do? He didn't send me a bounce check. Do you know how many bounce checks we have had in this church? He sent me a money order. I said, Pastor, I'm sending a money order because the money is settled. And he sent me to the net. I think I'm just going to call the last cent, 89 cents. I can never forget. Something, this, and 89 cents. He did the math. He sent the money. Did you need somebody to preach to you about that brother's priority?
No. Priority was God.
And we go through all kinds of stuff. Why? Because we treat God as a rock. Because we treat God as leftovers. Secondly, Jesus despised the shame. How many of us can despise shame? I'm not preaching about me and this brother, but my God. For when we get into the flesh, two of us can see ourselves. How many times there are little things as Christians we blow it out? There's something you guys use in microbiology called that thing that makes little microscope big. Microscope! Christians, children of God, we are stressed out. Why? Because if you want to look at the things, 90% of things we are stressed out on, we are not supposed to be stressed out on. Why? Because we magnify those things more than Jesus. Jesus could have magnified the shame on the cross. He could have said, me, the Lord of Lords, the bride and mother of God, the leader of the body, the one that opened your eyes, you crucified me. God, kill them. Was that not supposed to be another reaction? But the Bible says it was. Despise the shame. There are people, you see the feet, they will make a big deal. Big deal. You know how many times I've had occasions that I go to those occasions. Listen to this very critically. As a pastor, I can be as simple as I can be, but I have an office of God. I have the anointing of God upon my life. That anointing deserves some respect if you have to get something out of that anointing. There are places sometimes I've been invited to go minister or to go say something. I can't say the people don't care. The people don't care. To the time that I have to speak, and after I've spoken and they love what I said, My presence is not even significant.
But the normal human tendency is for me to say, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore.
I started listening to it.
Nobody has ever invited me since I started doing the gospel and has ever buy gas for my car.
No, including those who are sitting.
Some types of places that even go without invitation.
And when the people see me, they say, Pastor, we have to minister. And I do.
You know what? When my flesh tells me something, man, don't react. 90% of the time, I always say, this is not about me. I don't want to make this about me. But the normal tendency is that everybody wants it about them. And that's why you are stressed out. Little things, people blowing out, people magnifying, they go through days. I heard this minister of God say, a lady came to him and said, my wife, my husband, I've been married to 4 men, this is the fourth, and this man is about to leave me. I know that you're a pastor. I don't know about this, you're born again thing, but I'm so worried that this man will leave me. And the pastor asked her, are you born again? This woman said, no, I'm not born again. I'm not a church going person, but I'm just worried. I heard that the pastor coming here. I'm just praying that this pastor pray for my marriage. And the pastor asked her, are you born again? The woman said, no. He said, you're worried about a man. When you'll be burning in hell and your feet will be all wrapped up in fire, will this man be there? And the woman said, no. You need to be born again. And the man concludes the message by saying, the woman finally got born again. Her life changed. The brother was not a man anymore. But their life, their marriage became stronger. Look at the woman worried about the man. How many people go divorce their wives and divorce their husbands and all that? But what value do you put to marriage as compared to God? Let me help you here. This is going to sound very strong. I'm very glad that you're listening to this. Do you know somebody in the Bible called Moses? How many people know Moses was anointed? But when Moses received the calling to go to Egypt, the poor rabbi's wife divorced Moses for 1 year. When Moses was getting worried and blood and all this, the poor rabbi didn't follow him because she thought Moses was out of his mind to leave the house. She thought that Moses was out of his mind. You Moses, go home from Egypt, came on my father, give your friends to see. You think you're going back to that Egypt? Are you serious? Moses said, mother, mom, whatever name they call those things, the will of God is more important than this relationship. And what Moses went and said, don't know to do the miracle with him. He did it. And what happened? The poor followed later. Amen. The world follows later. We magnify things. We stretch over things. There are some of us that are saying, you can take your car now. You are dead completely. You don't die. You can't barely do everything in your house because of a car. There are some of us in the morning. You can hear somebody is going to leave you. It's all, oh my God. My name. So I want to buy stuff, and that's why Christians that are supposed to be in colleges, now they are using it as a spin. God is bigger than anything you can ever think about. And that's why Jesus
Oh,
what people get upset over. And sometimes you just sit there. You sit in the air like, shoot, right. My God, do you see how my daughter can cry over candy? She cries herself. She goes around, she now wants mommy. The mommy doesn't give she wants grandma. That's how some of us when we're in trouble, we move on. Yo, it's noisy. I used to ask my son, I said, look, I hope I didn't get it to me. Oh, boy. You gotta grow. Now you go to cry over some things. You better grow. Little toilet. My basement. If you go into my basement now, everything's in my phone. My basement is loaded with a lot of toys. Different kinds. The one that I move is now. Well, my son was crying over a little fish the whole morning yesterday. I could not concentrate. What does that say? That tells me that he is your son. I expect that from a son. Why? Because he doesn't understand. The same toilet is crying over, I take that toy and I put it in his hand. 5 minutes, you know where I find the toy? Lying on the floor. I said, listen, you want it? No, I want that one. I want that balloon. That's just some of us within our lives. Everything goes to the maximum. Everything is big deal. Everything is, oh my God. Oh my God. Do you believe what happened? And in the midst of all that, he's just saying, my God is big. My God is bigger than this problem. So I'm okay. We're going to the hospital tomorrow and the doctor says, you have cancer. Will you come back home? Who said cancer was bigger than God? You know why cancer is so big? Because we are magnifying him. We have with many people that die from cancer is psychologically influenced. Let me give you an example. There was a woman. That man was bragging, the wife of a pastor. This woman was bragging to everybody, say, I'm going to have 12 children. I'm going to have 12 children. People are going, wow, 12 children, yeah. Guess what happened? The very first pregnancy that she went for a test. But that's not, no, this is going to be biopsy. What is that?
I'm
And as I said yesterday, if you are dealing with a gossip, it's you are gossip. Because why do people gossip? They want to inflict pain. And when you want to inflict the same pain on them, they get very angry. Because they know the pain of gossip, that's why they are angry. And when I visited somebody, when something has just happened, I'm not going to call him because he might already know the person. And this person was missing. The main reason, the main thing that had happened, was missing that woman. I was making a big deal out of another thing. I said, hold on, hold on. You can't make this about you. Calm down. You know, have you seen people who go into the wickeding and they're angry that they didn't give them food? We are there watching for somebody who wants to die, not about your feeling. It's not all of you. I see people sitting here, I'm going to start waking people because if I wish her, I'm going to tell her my peace of mind. What peace of mind you're going to wake me to make the wicked thing about you? People go to wedding. Man, I've seen all kinds of stuff. God. People go to wedding. You're not even the one laughing. Can they come out? Can they come out? Amen. They want to make you love them. I'm the one that's going to be there who's going to walk like this. Are you the one marrying? Is it about you? But we believe us. People want weddings because maybe they didn't go to the church. Now it becomes the top of the community. Are you the one marrying? We magnify things. And then at the end of the day, many people say, maybe you have heard this, but I heard this many times. America is so stressful. I mean, my brother, America is not stressful. Nah, this land is full of money, it's full of peace, it's full of good stuff, clean water. So you bring the strength upon yourself. This country is full of education, universities of blah, blah, blah. They are here. So we go, we come here, we carry stuff. Those of us who back home, we used to walk to church. And we have peace of mind, no insurance. Now we walk, triple insurance. We used to walk to church. Seriously. You may be sure of the experience of this because you're not going to Africa, but where you go to say? We walk to church. You get there, there's no other creed you talk with them. And you get here, you still praise God. But now people get up and they're like, it's too cold, Pastor. No stress at all. No. Any stress? Yes, I'm going to. This morning, I'm going to conclude here. This morning, I got up at 5 o'clock. And seriously, I'm not bragging. The normal thing that we were able to do, and I come here at 8:30. At 8:30 this morning, when I got up and I sat in the bathroom and I was about to pray, I looked at my hands, and my eyes were so red. The normal instinct is pastor go to wear red. But I had a choice to either go to bed or get this message I'm giving you this morning. Get my children ready on time. How my wife do the things that she was supposed to do. Or I could have just taken the easy way and go to my bed. Or I'll be worried about my height. But my height is so tired. Does the message look tired? No. Do I look like somebody who got up at 5 o'clock this morning? Of course not. Or I could have slept with my wife and said, today's Sunday. I'm the pastor of this church. Then we sleep about 9 o'clock. Oh, it's night. You'll be running. Children, come on. Hey, who brought them back? You. You did. And then you are free. Please help me, bro. Please help me. I just pray that the door will still be open. Lord knows the door. We bring stress upon ourselves. You have homework in school. Instead of doing it at the time you're supposed to do it, you waste the last minute. They want to talk to thee. They want to pray. Many people, our priorities are so messed up. See, I'll say it again, and I've said it again, and I've said it.
I used to do two jobs in this country as a pastor, and I was taking 23 credits. 23 in this country. I didn't have an option to miss church because I was one of the pastors. And my final year, I was getting married. That very year. So because we have options, we have to choose between our study and God. And obviously, the spare time we use for our pleasure. The next time is for our study, and there is no place for God at all. Next week, we're talking about thanksgiving, raising money. That is one of the most stressful times for some people. But it's still money. Oh, boy. When you say money, that word, when it comes to giving it out, it's so stressful. But when it comes to receiving, it's a pleasurable thing. Now that we are talking about money, you don't know what no. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say it tonight. I don't care what you think about what I'm going to say. If you are a member of this church and you are working, on the day of Thanksgiving, you give God anything less than £1,000, you're being ungrateful. $1,000, you're being ungrateful to God. Yes, I said that. That's the fact. If you're working and you're telling the other $50, you're being ungrateful to God. Because for 12 months of God taking you to work, He's protecting you while you sleep sometimes on the highway for those who work overnight. If you bring something less than $1,000, you're mocking at God. If you can lock this one paycheck out of family a year, how many? Somebody shout it out. How many? If you're paying for 2 weeks, how many weeks are you allowed? I mean, 28. I'm giving God one who will make you die. There should be one person here to come take you. One! So, the 1,000 is not even one of your paychecks. It's not 2 weeks. If you give God, your family will be married for the rest of your life. And some people, wow, Pastor, you said that? Yes, I did. Nobody else will tell you the truth. I'm the pastor. You believe in me, you're going to have to tell you the truth, right? If you walk, if you don't give above 1,000, you're mocking at God. And if God had an option, they kick you off. For those who don't walk, we can understand. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you what I have with myself. And for those who don't work, you can look how God does not understand you. You still benefit from God's blessing anyway. You still benefit from His protection. If you say God works, it's not understand you. It's not understand you. One thing I've noticed is that when people, somebody dies, you see money come out. People bring money. Money comes out. There are people in the family that my aunt, I can use my family because I know what it is. When my aunt died, we went, right? Boy. These people spend money. They have to sew dresses here. They sew dresses from the guy to Cameroon. They buy t-shirts, fill up for the night. They bought these dresses for the funeral. All kinds of stuff. And I just love them. But these are people, when they go to church, they have to wonder, hiding between them. If I don't tell you it's open, I'm going to stay behind. Better tell you it's open. We prefer more to spend when people have gone away in the name of paying our respect. I don't want to go there because that's a very, people have different philosophies on that. With all the protection that God is giving you, for everything, and let me tell you again, last thing is $1 has never gone to heaven. One thing has never gone to heaven. The money you give here is for the place, for you to come sit in. It's for you.
sacrifice her. Of course, if you sacrifice her, so what about it? Yeah, so what about it? Yeah, I can take that one and go buy me a limousine. How about that? Ooh, some people come to the house and go fire. Can you stand up on your feet? Amen. You see, if I had written what I said about the money, I could not have been able to do it. But let me tell us, if you forget everything else, please, please, I'm saying this while you stand up. Get your priorities straight. Don't put value on things that are not value. But gold, that we value so much, has to be tried by fire. And you cannot value gold the way you value silver. Everything in your life must not be too serious. But the things of God must be number one. The things of God must get you out of bed. The things of God must be number one. It's not buying another car. If I have done, I'm going to go in here and say, hey, everybody, I'm about to raise funds to buy you a car. Will you feel happy? Because of course. Hey, that pastor is my buddy. I love that. He's a buddy. You show me. Hey, this is my country. Please, let's raise money and buy you a high car. Everybody will love me. This place will be so cool. What are your priorities? What gets you deep? What moves you? Are you so tied to your money that you say, you know what, like Job's wife, you can tell God that. You're so tight to believe that God is like my daughter when my son, you give me him candy. You say, give me my son. Oh, what? That's how some of us begin. Everything you own, God gave you. Everything. As a lot of our evening by the young, some of us will never see America with our eyes. But he has given you the grace. And now you value everything. Some people say, Pastor, you don't know I have this big family at home. The question is, if you didn't go to America, could they have been eating big goats? Could they have been eating the leftovers? No, they could have survived. But now you have become their God. And some of us are making them very lazy. While we are here stressed out, running up and down, we cannot serve God for our soul. We are so worried about people back home. I have a family, so let me tell you guys. But I come to realize that there are some people you can send them everything. You can even transfer your time give them. They will never be satisfied. Yes. And there are some of the commanders that you have to send them now. And even when they want it, they are foundation. We're so free. What would you think? My conscience is telling me they will give church to go work. Do you not be a believer? How many of you want to believe that when you're kicked out of your house here in America, the people come home with contribute money and send to you? They'll be very angry with you if you show up home and tell you, like, it's not. You get from the airport, look for your right to come home. I'm telling you, some of you, if you are deported now, your family will pray for you. You have to go look for another company. Why? Because you were here working for them. You were their plantation. I'm saying this as a pastor. I'm not against anybody helping their family. I do. We do. But we are level for everybody else. We are more concerned about what this will say. But there are people who are supposed to come here. They love this truth. They love the message. But my God, what will people say when they hear you go and listen to that? Huh? What will they say? You pray. You satisfy everybody else. There are people that will satisfy somebody else, but in their house. This man called me. This man was like, this man said, I did all my work so nice to everybody else. But when she come with me, I think, brother, it's just a normal thing. Even our wife says the same thing, that we're nice to everybody else. But then, we care about everybody else. Everybody else. Yes, some of us here, we know what is happening every house. Every fight, whatever grandma said, whatever who said, we know it by time, by title. We know who is the good wife, who is the bad wife, we know it. We can write a book on it.
So I'm hearing the man was not coming to church sometimes, and he knew everything. Detail by detail.
Well, that's not the point I'm making. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You get the point?
You get the point I'm making? Yes, we're supposed to care for one another. But don't let everything in your life. There are some things that are not the same. Paul said, as I stop here and pray, Paul said there are some things that are important, but they are not expedient. They are important, but they are not expedient. They're not worth stressing over. That's my message. They're not worth dividing over. In the scheme of things, when we look at what has been said, has been done, there's nothing compared to eternity. It's not. Please, if we look at some things that people are saying, I will never see you or never come to your house till I die. It's not worth debating with a brother or a sister. But because we want to make it, it's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Sometimes you need to go to some people's house and say, it's all about you. It's all about me. But that's not supposed to be a portion. I'm going to pray this morning. Yes, this message I've given is not for everybody. You have your part. Somebody has theirs. But I want to pray that when you come out of this place, that weight that has been over you, you take a deep breath and release it and say, Lord, you're bigger than every problem. You're bigger than everybody. I will glorify you. And as I glorify you, every other problem will take care of itself. When I make you number one, every other trial will fall in place. When I magnify you, your bills will be taken care of. When I magnify you, this marriage, I'm not going to quit. But I'm going to magnify you more than the problems of this marriage. I'm going to magnify you more than my boss. I'm going to magnify you more than the world of everybody else. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit your children into your hands. I pray, oh God, that we will worship you, we will magnify you, we will reverence you more than every other thing. Because, Lord, if we make you number one, everything else will follow. Your good Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. My Lord and my King, I pray for your children that are stressed out. One way or the other, Father, I ask you that from now henceforth, oh God, give them wisdom, give them strength, give them knowledge. Lord, I've said many things this morning. I pray that, oh God, that good seed will fall in the hearts of your children. And Lord, that when trials and tribulation comes, they will count it all joy, knowing that it's nothing compared to the glory that awaits them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. With our eyes closed, if you have not met Jesus, the Lord of your life, if Jesus is still secondary, if Jesus is not number one, you only know him by name. And you know that if it's all said and done today, you will not see Jesus. Maybe you're caught up with religion and principles and callings and things that you recite, but you don't really have a relationship. Maybe your God is your job. Maybe your God is your car. Maybe your God is your house. But today you want to say, Jesus, I want to make you number one. Like blind Bartimaeus, I say, Jesus, he cried. He cried, Stephen, Jesus, I need you. And the crowd was pushing him, and everybody was, but he screamed because they've only heard his voice. I want to pray with you this morning, so that as you step out of this place, your body will be carried by him. And you'll be able to relax again. That describes you. Let me just see your little, your hand to go off a little bit. I'm going to pray with you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you for those two hands. Don't be distracted, please. If you really have to say something, you can enter the room. If
if you want, if you have been stressed out, you have been going through all, and you said you want to say no today. Today, yes, every time my emotion comes in, I want to react as a result that I'm stressed out. I need you to carry my burdens. I want to see your hand. I want you to put your hands up. Let me see how. Raise those hands. And I need every eye closed in this place as I pray. This is more important than offering than anything else. You want to say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of going through. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children that I've raised their hand. Raise both hands right high so that heaven can see. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll take a picture of those hands. Lord, I pray that you will take those hands into your own hands and carry their burdens. Give them wisdom on how to handle trials and tribulations. Lord, that in the midst of the trial, they'll be able to smile. They'll be able to sing praises. They'll be able to give you worship. They'll be able to glorify your name. I pray, oh God, for our brothers and sisters who are your children and yet they struggle. I pray that, Lord, you will move in a mighty way in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You haven't seen it, amen. Sorry, our time is fast spent, but I want to give an announcement here about we have, if I read the program very well, we have the, brother, can you talk? Can you give it better? I'm sorry, I don't know if I read it, but I didn't have the whole program. I don't really have the program with me right now, but I can give you the main point of the program. Today is Sunday. On Friday, next Friday, we have a week to be. It's on Starfield. I don't have the address. Starting at 8 Mark, the Junction Southfield 8 Mark, near Guardian Security. Yeah, there's the hall over there, well known by Africans. And on Saturday, even the same Friday, we have a visitation at the funeral home. We have the address 2600 Brooks on Detroit. The time is 5 to 7, 5 p.m. to 7. 5 to 7, yeah. Then after the presentation, we'll move to the gatekeeping.
And the other for the waiting room is
17500 Northland Drive. So after the visitation, we move to the waitkeeping. After the waitkeeping, the next day, the following day, that Saturday, that is another visitation. Between 1 and 3 p.m., that will be the burial. So I hope you get the flyer very soon, no matter how. Please call friends and others, they will give you the gift. Praise the Lord. So Friday, we have to turn out for this ceremony, but for the meantime, let's keep them in our prayers, amen. Praise the Lord. The service is yours, amen. Yeah, so we make sure we put this family in prayer, pray for them. And the burial is on Saturday. Do we call them? There's no other time that it is us than being there with them. Amen. Please do everything you have to be there. The hearing is on Friday. 5 to 7, this is not African time, it's American. So I believe that from 5 to 7, after 7 days, I believe they shall be
So there's two things, like people that know what it is. And then the hall where the weightlifting is, it's just right, just here. When you go there, you go down straight, 8 miles, you make a left, it's just in there. We've had many occasions there. So it's not been difficult. This family needs our support physically, emotionally, spiritually, and above it all, financially. Amen? Because it takes people. Let us come out and support them. Invite somebody to come with you. Amen? Let's pull our offerings out. While we're getting our offerings, we have to pray for the birthday people. Amen. The ones that go down, I go down once for all. Thank you, Titan. Amen. Our birthday is this week. Come, let's pray for you. Anybody else? Don't have faith in me. The faith of the church is the right thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for them. Amen. Oh, let's pray for them. Wow. See how big they are. Come, come, come. Wow. That's 11 years. Anybody else? Who's pressing just back or was today? All right, let's put our hands up and pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this life. We thank you for another year. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them abundantly. You open doors. You protect them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that this year it will be all about you. They will glorify you. They will honor you. Lord, we see the stresses, the trials, the difficulties that they went through last year. This year, oh God, it will not be their portion. But Lord, that you will fortify them. You will strengthen them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for an open heaven. Lord, shower your blessings upon them. We pray for divine health, that they will be healthy, in the name of Jesus. I hope it all, Lord, I say this year, money, finances will come to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the many that have their birthday and nobody knows. We pray for them, Lord, that you bless them equally as you bless this one, in the name of Jesus. We worship you, we give you praise, glory, and adoration. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together as we sit down. Praise the Lord. We have our offering. Come here. Just hold your offering quickly. Let us pray. Stand up if you're reaching your offering. Praise the brother with the trunk. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as your children have brought this to you today morning, Lord, I pray that you bless it. Increase it, oh God. Multiply whatever they have in your hands in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that, Lord, this will go to the furtherance of the gospel, that your name will be glorified. I thank you. I give you praise. I cover those offerings with the blood of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Thank you. that this fight, oh God, of hardship, Lord, they have not abandoned The joy of the Lord, your strength.
again. Say it again. And this week, you have to remember our joy. You have to remember our strength. You have to remember our peace. You have to remember our abundance in everything you do.
Each other in.